Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 637th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at ajmsportsfc.com and, of course, Beyond the 90 at Substack, Beyond the 90 at beyondthe90.substack.com. And of course, I am your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin this show, you know, I normally don't want to talk about stuff like this because, you know, this situation, you know, it's basically childish, you know, it's banter, obviously, but, you know, maybe it's time for a little educational moment with all of you when it comes to certain things involving yourself as a member of a media outlet. At the same time, you host a podcast or you are a member of a podcast broadcasting group. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is involving a derby rivalry, a big rivalry. Here in Major League Soccer, as we all know, the Hudson River Derby. Now, first things first, let me just say this. New York City FC deserved the victory. Without a doubt, they deserved the victory. They were the best team out there to edge the Red Bulls at 2-1. And that's fine. That's fine. I have no problem whatsoever. But let me just say this. And this is something that I want all of you to understand. When you are a member of the media, regardless if you get paid or you don't get paid, okay? Regardless, it's called ethics. It's called making sure you do your job the right way, okay? When you want to throw your own smack talk at a situation, you know, make sure that it's tasteful and make sure that you're not going to start something stupid and dumb. And that's what happened after the match. Mr. J.R. DeBart of Blue City Radio decided to make a very tasteless joke on Cameron Harper because apparently, there is a photo of him stretching out his right arm, is at a certain angle. Now, all of a sudden, he, Mr. DeBart, capital letter D, lowercase I, capital letter B, lowercase A, R, T, decided to pretend and tweeted, X'd, that Cameron Harper, when he scored the golazo to level the game at one, claims, or is trying to be funny and claiming it is the Nazi salute because the photo he found, or the whatever pictures that he decided to get off of his laptop, he wanted to make that funny and stupid. The New York Red Bulls did not like that. Red Bull media members did not like that. He tried to erase it, but Michael Batista, who covers the Red Bulls for New York City Soccer Nation, or New York City Sports Nation, I should say, as well as Hudson River Blue to help them out, that covers New York City FC, called him out. And I applauded Michael Batista for calling out this fraud. Mr. DeBart needs to understand something. Mr. DeBart needs to know, you can't pull stuff like this. You can't. You are a member of a podcast group. You also get credentialed to do these games. And you are now posting stuff like this, giving that fan group of blue New York City supporters of NYCFC a bad name. It is just downright disgusting. It is horrible. I won't stand for it. And let me give you another great example of what happened. And thankfully, I don't have to see him anymore. And I don't mind sharing this because I don't talk to this man. I've never, you know, I only had online interaction with him. I have not done anything with him after the 1 year at Once a Metro before that got removed by SB Nation, removing all of their MLS websites. Some of you may know who I'm talking about, and some of you don't, so I'll definitely share some insights. His name is Ben Cork. After other people at Once a Metro left, including the managing editor who left, I took over on a temporary basis, hoping to take over on a full-time basis. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, and that was fine, as long as I was still part of the team. That's all that mattered. And I just wanted to make sure, trying to talk to the Mr. Cork, that I was part of that team. Didn't sound like he wanted me to be a part of his team. So, anyway, just to make a long story short here, Mr. Cork and his friends decided to write an article about Alex Mouil. Now, Alex Mouil was no longer on the New York Red Bulls. He already moved on to Nashville SC. And yet, this article was written on Once a Metro based on Alex Mouil because apparently he was the whipping boy to Mr. Cork and his friends, as well as other Red Bull fans. The title of the article is called Phantom of the Arena. I read it. I really probably shouldn't have read it, but I wanted to read it because I wanted to see what the hell was going on. And once again, it's a hit job on Alex Mouil. And I didn't like it. I did not like it. I thought it was a waste of time. Now, I never shared my thoughts on it with Mr. Cork because I said to myself, it's just not worth sharing my thoughts with Mr. Cork. And then I scrolled all the way to the bottom, past the written end, the last paragraph. I went past it after reading the entire thing, and then there was a caricature. A caricature of a black and white photoshopped head of Alex Mouil, his head, on top of a cartoonish body with a metal collar around his neck with a chain-linked, basically a chain linked up on the back of the collar and tied up to a pole in a basement. That, my friends, is disgusting and pathetic. And I said to myself, when the season was over, which it did get to the end, I informed the hierarchy of the soccer division of SB Nation that I was leaving once in Metro. I could not stand for that. I am not joining or remaining at that website covering the Red Bulls because of a piece of garbage like that, allowing pathetic, stupid shit to be allowed on that website. And so I left. I left on good terms with all the people that covered MLS clubs on SB Nation. I've never spoken to Mr. Cork again. My time, sadly, over there was finished. Principles, ladies and gentlemen, principles. This is what we must have when you are covering an MLS team or in professional sports. There have been dunderheads, dummies, schmucks, and dumkoffs that have attempted to soil their names because they want to prove they're smarter than you or smarter than these players, and they are not. So the next time you want to listen to the Blue City Radio people, make sure that Mr. DeBart learned his lesson. But let me also say this, and I'm not blaming Mr. Michael Anderer of Blue City Radio. This is not his fault. He is a good person. I know Michael personally. I know he's going to do the right thing and admonish Mr. DeBart. In fact, I hope Michael kicks him off. I really hope he kicks him off the podcast because we don't need, and he does not need, a schmuck and a piece of garbage that Mr. J.R. DeBart is. Just as for all you Red Bull fans out there, you don't need to read what Mr. Ben Cork and his cronies write on their website because they don't deserve your time. Absolute garbage. We don't need stuff like this. I am supporting independent writers and independent soccer writers because we need to keep that going, and we must have ethics and meaningful journalism. That's all I'm saying about this. Okay, I understand that you're not writing for the LA Times, the New York Post, the Daily News, or the Philadelphia Inquirer. I understand that. But the point is, if you are going to be involved in covering an MLS team, then for God's sakes, be professional about it. Act like a professional. Because when you have that credential for a season writing your MLS team or covering the team through a podcast, then you know what? You got to be professional about it. You must be professional. And I am sick and tired of these idiots. They're trying to act so smart when they're actually looking so stupid. ticks me off. I will not stand for it, and neither should you. That's all I can say about this situation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight, he is the managing editor and head writer of the Philadelphia Soccer Now website, and it's my good friend, Matt Ralph. Matt, good evening, and how are you?
Good. Good to be back, and good to be talking about the Union after they won instead of after they lost.
You mean thank God they won over a horrible Revolution team?
Yeah.
Well, let me get right into it, Matt. And I know you don't want to talk about the negatives, but we're going to have to, unfortunately.
Yep.
But what's going on with the Union? I mean, obviously, I don't think it's as Jim Curtin's doing, obviously. I think he's managing the games as much as well as he can. But what's been going on with the Union these days now?
Well, I mean, the team that I think they lost like one home game over like a 2.5 year stretch. They can't seem to win at home now, so they're in a 4-game home losing streak, which is obviously very frustrating for the home fans. New England, the way they're playing this year, is sort of the team that can cure your ails. Like an antidote for teams. So it's hard to really read too much into, playing up a man with a red card in the 14th minute and winning that game 3-0. But, I mean, the it's been uncharacteristic. The Union have been giving up goals at a rate they aren't typically giving up goals. And I think they just dug themselves a hole. And, they scored goals. It's not a situation where they can't score. They can. It's just they're not scoring as many goals as they're giving up in these games that they're getting behind. And I mean, they've shown some character. They've gotten back into games that they probably had no business getting back into. They've even some of the losses they've still showed some fight. So it's just the defensive miscues, the little things that they've been so good at, they're just not getting right in this stretch of the season.
Now, I have to admit, the Union are in a very unfamiliar place. They're in eighth currently in the East, and I know there's still plenty of time. I know that Leagues Cup is coming. We all know that, end of July and all that stuff. But what's really worrisome to me is the goalkeeping position. What's the situation with Andre Blake right now?
Yeah, I mean, he can't stay on the field. He's had a lot of just different things that have happened that have kept him out. He's had different types of injuries. They haven't been all the same, but it's been a little bit of a case of bad luck. Also a case of I think there's enough confidence in Oliver Zemla that they're not going to, put Blake in a situation where, he could get hurt and make it worse. So I think they're taking a conservative approach, which really they should. He's not getting younger. So, but it's definitely a concern. I mean, Zemla has shown well at times. I mean, I think he was good, made some good saves in the game against New England, but there's still some of those plays where you wonder, does Blake make that save? And Blake making those saves that, most normal goalkeepers don't make, really has been a big boost for the team. And so not having him back there, and I think it does, you do lose a little bit of that X factor, a little bit of that, confidence to know, even if you do give up the chances, which even when they have been more stingy on defense, they've definitely conceded chances, like any team does. And Blake has really kind of been known over the years, as for bailing them out when they do. So it's concerning, obviously, too, not just for the Union but for Jamaica. Wondering in terms of his status, because he will be leaving, hopefully. If he's not leaving, that means he's not playing here either. So, it's definitely a concern, and I think it's you know, that kind of in and out, is he playing, is he not playing, what's going on, I think that has, you know, in some ways, you know, they haven't, it definitely hasn't been, you know, definitely hasn't helped their situation. So I think, you know, anyone you talk to over there, they're going to say that they want Blake fresh and want him available as much as possible.
No, I understand that, and hopefully he'll be able to get back in goal and be healthy for the rest of the season. Obviously, he will be missing a chunk of time with the Union, hopefully, for Jamaica. If not, and, like you said, there's a problem there, and we'll see what the Curtin and the Union will do. What do you think has also been the problem right now? Has it been injuries, or is just they're just not syncing together, or do you think maybe, and I'm not saying, you know, this is an excuse, but do you think because of all of these past years they've been doing well, making the playoffs, going on a long run, do you think maybe it's caught up to them a little bit? They're maybe a little more exhausted than normal because they've been a part of Champions Cup, Champions League, Open Cup, and, you know, even the run in the Leagues Cup last year. Do you think it's starting to catch up to them now?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, I think the, you know, the league has a way of, you know, there's definitely, you know, you go year to year, like the East is better than the West is better than the East. Like, you, there's definitely ups and downs, I think. You know, there's been, you know, they've, last few years, I mean, if you think about, you know, just Atlanta was on top of the world and they fell apart. Toronto was on top of the world and they fell apart. Like, you have these teams that, like, really sort of solidified the East that really struggled. I mean, even New York City, you know, won an MLS Cup and, you know, they haven't, I mean, they look like they're a little bit on the upswing this year again. But, you know, just a lot of these teams that traditionally have been, you know, pretty strong and pretty good rivals, I think, you know, they fell off a little bit. And so, you know, and I think it is a situation where, you know, everybody wants to beat the Union now because they sort of are the team that, you know, they're tough to play, and especially in their building with the history of not losing very much. So I think there's definitely, you know, people, you know, teams plan, and they are playing a little differently this year. You know, I think personnel has shifted a little bit. I mean, Flock coming back has been big. Just because he gives them so much bite defensively, you know, there's definitely, you know, brighter attacking moments in the attack that sometimes leaves them a little bit more vulnerable in the back. Martinez hasn't had the greatest season. You know, he's had some tough games too. He's dealt with some injury. You know, there's questions about how. You know, is he 100%? I don't know. You know, he's had a little bit of a challenging season too. So that's been. You know, there's a lot of things, right? There's a lot of factors in it, but you know, it's also very much still early season, and it is MLS, and we know that MLS has a way of, you know, course correcting through the course of the season as well. It's not you know, you see these teams go through these patches, and then I think Jim said in a recent press conference where, you know, you win a couple games and then you move up the table quickly. This is when you lose a few games, you move down the table pretty quickly.
No, I understand that, absolutely, and we'll see what happens. Like, I've always told this to many people, MLS is not the Premier League, it's not La Liga or the Bundesliga, or Serie A, because you're always going to get a different champion every year. They start great, they'll end up crap at the end, they'll start poor at the beginning, they'll be great at the end, so you never know what's going to happen here. So there's definitely plenty of time, I agree with you there, Matt. And we'll see what the Curtin and Union will do. Now, let's get to a positive. Obviously, the big roar throughout the Union area, you know, the Philadelphia area for the Union is Kevin Sullivan signing with the Union, and, you know, that's a big get for such a talented player who's been, you know, been pulled here, pulled there, where are you going to go, whose club he's going to sign with. I know he was going to be with the Union Academy, was he at the other academy, but finally, Kevin is with the Union, and how special is that for Union supporters that finally this kid is going to be, of course, he's local, South Jersey, you know, Philly area guy. How important was it for the union to sign him to a homegrown deal?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, the Sullivan family is, no strangers to anybody who's been involved in soccer in this area for, quite some time. Both Heike, his mom, and Brendan, his dad, both played, at UPenn and, kept playing. His dad played a little bit professionally. His mom, played in the amateur leagues for a number of years after college, and was a really good player in, USL and stuff. So USL PA, that is. So they're very much a known family. I mean, Quinn obviously has done, he's having a really good season for the Union, and, there's just been a lot of talk about Kevin really since he was like eight. I've been hearing stories about him since he was pretty little, and, you see him at games, and, he's definitely different in a lot of ways. He's very much been, he's 14 now. He'll be 15, and later this year. But he's definitely, he looks 15, but he doesn't act or play like he's 15. So it's been interesting. I think, the number of conversations I overhear at games, particularly youth games where his name comes up has been pretty interesting. I think, it's definitely been, a bit of a whirlwind, I think, in terms of just all the attention. It's been interesting because, I remember, a certain player from D.C. getting a lot of attention, but we're in a different, very much a different era of the sport. And so, it's been, obviously it's drawn a lot of interest to the team, and, there's still a lot of questions though about what does this mean now, right? What is, and even, he said it at his press conference, this is really very much the beginning of things, and there's a long, long way still to go. But yeah, it's exciting. I think there was, real concern that he would leave, and I don't know how much that is, in terms of the competitive, over the next couple of years, how much of an impact he's going to be able to make on the first team, and how much we should expect of 15, 16-year-old to do that. Certainly fans are very aware in soccer of all the functions of the system of selling players and loaning players and all of that. So I think it was exciting for fans to sort of see this talented player. And it's something the Union really have not been known for either. Zach Pfeffer was a bit of an outlier when he signed at 15 and was a very different setup. He was really an FC Delco player who trained a little bit with the Union, and they really liked him and signed him. And he went on to play, didn't have, had a little bit of a disappointing development path and didn't quite hit in MLS it was hoped. But really the team hasn't, gone that deep into their academy before, since him. They've really mostly signed kids who are at least 17. So it's definitely a new world in that sense. But, this is someone that, not necessarily by name, but Jim has alluded to him for quite some time as someone, Jim Curtin, that is, having played for his grandfather and for Brendan. Brendan, his dad, was one of the coaches at Villanova when Jim was a player there. So, this is something where, the connections really run deep. And, that's why I think, too, and just in my travels, people I talk to, everyone's got a Kevin Sullivan story. And, he's still only 14. So in 14, less than 14 years, I don't think anyone was talking about his left foot when he was a baby yet, but maybe they were. I have no idea. But, he's really kind of, made a name for himself playing, playing with 11-year-olds when he was eight, playing with 13-year-olds when he was 10, just all through the pathway of his development from, playing at Lighthouse, one of the historic youth clubs in America, with names, people like Walt Barr and stuff, and the the connections to that, to the U.S. national team from Lighthouse and their youth national titles and in the early days, you know, from there to the FC Delco to the academy, you know, playing the Union Academy, and just, you know, he's a talented kid. He's a fun kid. He's a fun kid to be around. He's got you know, he plays with so much personality, and he's off the field. He's just a really nice kid, and kind of keeps his head down. And he even admitted that he's, you know, kind of boring. He just, you know, doesn't. he keeps a pretty low profile when he's not playing.
Absolutely, Matt. Listen, thank you as always for joining me tonight. Hope you have a good evening. Good luck this upcoming week in the regular season, and I'll talk to you again soon. Okay.
Great. Thanks. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Matt. Talk to you soon. Matt Ralph from Philadelphia Soccer Now. Just a big curious to know what the heck's going on with the Union, and now we know why, and hopefully we'll see what they do later on in the season, if they'll turn things around. My next guest now, he was supposed to be on my National Premier Soccer League show this past Thursday. Unfortunately, had some issues with the phone situation, but glad to have him back on to give his club that opportunity to be on the show here. He is the owner and president of Geo's Lions SC Chicago, Mr. Ruben Trevino, joining me right now. Ruben, good evening, and thank you for taking the invitation again to come back on the show.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Oh. Okay, good, good. Just checking. Thank you for having me back on. I appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Wonderful. I'm glad to have you back on, too. It's only fair to bring you back on to have the national audience on to hear you talk. So very happy about that. You know, let's just quickly, you know, you're starting off 2-0 right now in the NPSL over in the Gateway Conference. How is that start going right now for you? How are you feeling?
You know, we were going into the season probably with a lot of naivety, and, you know, we're optimistic. We got our approval to start the club about 90 days ago, and we pretty much had built it in about 90 days, but we relied on, you know, our soccer local community and the connections that we all have, and we thought we put a pretty good team together, but that's all on paper until you play it on the field, and we were really happy with the results this weekend. The team that we beat yesterday, Sunday, won the conference last year, and I was pleased to find out. I didn't know there were so many Brazilians in Iowa, because that entire team spoke fluent Portuguese.
Wow, that's amazing. That is crazy. Did not know that about that club this past weekend. Really quickly, Gateway Conference. I mean, you're taking on clubs like Club Atlético St. Louis, Des Moines United, which is the team that you beat. You beat those two teams, actually, in your first two games: Etar, Belleville, Milwaukee Torrent, Kansas City Soul, Sunflower State FC, and the Wisconsin Conquerors, or other expansion team joining you in the Gateway Conference. So far, so good, but, you know, you're going to have some tough challenges here, aren't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, we're looking forward to it, working hard as a team, and things are just starting to gel. So, you know, we have a positive outlook for sure.
That's fantastic to hear. Now, once again, please, why is it called Geo's Lions, and what was the situation involving that?
Yeah, so Gio is the son of the founder and president of our youth organization, Savino Leon. And unfortunately, 2 years ago, October, Gio was just, you know, doing 1-2 touches on the sidelines of his older brother's game, and one of the passes went errant. He ran across the street to go get the ball, and unfortunately, he was hit by a car, and he passed away the next day. So after that, the club was named in his memory and honor, and, you know, that definitely is a big part of our culture and our core, is that, you know, when we need to dig deep and work hard, or looks like things are against us, you know, we're playing for something a little bit higher than all of us. So it's an honor to play in somebody's memory like that, and we do take it seriously.
Of course, absolutely. And, you know, all I can say is that, you know, once again, you know, I send my condolences to your fellow owner of the club, and I'm glad that he did dedicate his son's name to this club going forward. What is it about Chicago that we keep seeing all these great amateur clubs? Professional, of course, the Fire is always going to be there. You know, semi-professional clubs, lower-level clubs in the Chicago area. Why do we have these new clubs coming in, and the abundance of talented players in this city can always find a club to play in?
Yeah. You know, I think it just starts with America being a melting pot, and Chicago is a great example of that, especially for the Midwest. You just have people from all backgrounds and cultures, and when they come to America, they bring their soccer and love for it with them. And, you know, it's always sort of been around. You know, the Hispanic League locally here in Chicago is really that community that we pulled from. It's called CLASA. But the other, you know, ethnic backgrounds have their leagues and teams. And, you know, they always had the men's teams, but now it's been a couple generations, and it's really flowing down to the youth. So I think the youth organizations are really strong, and it's only going to get stronger.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing to hear about, and hopefully keeps on getting better. Now, if I can ask you this question, why the National Premier Soccer League? What made you want to be a part of this league here in American soccer?
Yeah, so, you know, for us, we were looking for an opportunity to play at a semi-pro level. You know, our ultimate goal is to have a holistic system where we have an academy sort of feeding into our highest level men's team. And so with that, you know, I did some research, and, you know, I felt like compared to the other leagues, the NPSL has been around much longer. There's some teams that have played at much higher tiers in the past. So you know that you're dealing with, like, well-run organizations, lots of experience, not necessarily strictly like U19 or U23, or that not really being its main focus. You know, and proven this weekend. We played against some absolutely great competition and exciting to watch, and I'm glad we made the decision to go with the NPSL, and that was really the reasoning behind it.
No, absolutely, and that's fantastic to hear. And who is your head coach, and what type of style do you like this club to play in or play into? I mean, obviously I'm not asking for the playbook, but is there defending? Is there attacking, pressing, counterattacking? What do you want to see the club do?
Yeah, you know, in preparation for this phone call, and after, you know, the success we had this weekend, me and Carlos, his name is Carlos Reyes. He's our coach, and, you know, we all kind of grew up in the same area, same soccer community, and he's also the coach at Prairie State Junior College in the south suburbs of Chicago. Recently won a national championship, I think, 2 years ago. And, you know, his style of play is kind of representative of a lot of the way the Hispanic teams play in Chicago. You know, focus on aggressive defense, holding the ball, and then, you know, trying to take advantage and attacking, you know, on errant plays and the other team's mistakes, and, you know, really relying on transition plays from there, but just aggressive, you know. And he definitely, I think he's a really genius of a coach. I think him getting some exposure at NPSL, I think this is someone you could see a lot more of down the road at much higher levels.
Well, that's great to hear from you. I mean, we'll see what happens down the road, but that's a big compliment coming from you there, Ruben, and hopefully that'll happen. So obviously, you know, it's not just having a great regular season. It's also qualifying for the playoffs and hopefully winning that championship at the end of the season. But, you know, if you do make the playoffs and you do get to a certain level, you do qualify for the Open Cup next year. Is that a part of what this club wants to do, not just for next year, but for, you know, ever, for the many years you're going to be in the NPSL, to try to also qualify for the Open Cup?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of been part of the conversation from the inception of the club and inviting Carlos into our group to be the coach. He's a very confident fellow, and, you know, just seeing what he did this weekend, I see why. And so making the U.S. Cup has always sort of been part of the conversation, but we're really focused game to game, developing some chemistry. You know, we've only had two games, and to be honest with you, we haven't practiced much more than 3 weeks or so, maybe four tops. So, you know, we've spent the last 90 days just, again, starting from scratch and just trying to provide our coach Carlos with whatever resources that we could provide him, because I really did feel confident with, you know, what he was trying to do, and he really felt like he could win. So we have that goal in mind, but we've got a lot of work to do between, you know, now and some of those more important games.
No, absolutely. And hopefully those important games will be coming up very soon to play. Who should we be looking out for on the pitch, whether it be attacker, defender, midfielder, keeper,
yeah,
or you just think everyone's really that good?
No. You know, this weekend, one player stood out, and I don't want to say above the rest, but from a fan standpoint, everybody was screaming, "I love Buki." Full name Bukola. He goes Buki for short, played at UIC. Just a killer forward. Loves to attack, good at taking the ball and turning it and either going down the line or up the center, and very patient with the ball, looking for the cross just as much as he's looking to shoot. On Saturday, I think he had 3 assists and 1 goal, and he could have had 2 more, I think, and he's probably dreaming about them tonight. But I'm going to have to start printing some I Heart Buki t-shirts, because he's got a flair and a style, and all the fans appreciated it, and the young kids that were there at the game were screaming out his name many times.
So basically you got yourself a good merchandising setup right now, don't you?
Yeah. I was researching how to print T-shirts and overnight them this morning at 8 a.m.
Oh, geez. Well, you should do like the old I Love New York T-shirts. Have the I, the love, and put the guy's name down.
Oh, that's the idea. Yeah, that just I and the heart symbol and Buki.
That's it.
I think they'll sell. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong.
Yeah.
So other than that, like I said, you're 2-0 right now and you're in the Gateway Conference. You know, how are we feeling right now? Very confident? I mean, obviously there's still plenty of games left to go that you got to play. But how are you feeling right now with this club currently on the start?
Yeah. I mean, it's really been a whirlwind. You know, going into this process, you don't know what you don't know. Trying to get our players cleared via FIFA and the NPSL. There's a lot of administrative paperwork that I don't think we knew we were getting ourselves into. Luckily, I'm a lawyer by trade, so paperwork's kind of my forte, but it was like drinking out of a fire hose for the last 3 weeks. You know, we were just happy to field the team Saturday and Sunday. So that was, we felt like that was step one. And, you know, again, happy to come out with the wins, but there's a lot of work to do just between gelling, and you could tell that, you know, sometimes we lack some chemistry, or, you know, you're thinking someone's going to be somewhere and they're not, and so then there's miscoverages. And I think when we go back and look at the tape, there's just some silly mistakes that we made, and that stuff's only going to get better week to week as we practice more.
Yep. Absolutely, and that should be great. And, you know, look, all I can say is I'm glad you're part of the league. I'm glad you're part of the sport here in the United States, and we just got to keep on going and keep pressing on and just keep supporting the game here in the U.S. So hopefully maybe one of your players might make it to the big time and maybe to the national team. We'll see what happens. But, Ruben,
absolutely,
thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate appreciate you coming on, and thank you for understanding and coming back and taking the invitation to come back on my regular show tonight.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate just the radio show that you have and how it's supporting, you know, like community level and homegrown soccer all the way to the top of, you know, the soccer stratosphere, the MLS, the Premier League, and things like that.
Absolutely. You have a good night now, and good luck with the rest of the season.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Mr. Ruben Trevino from Geo's Lions SC Chicago. So very happy he took the invitation to come back on the show. Has having phone issues, and I didn't want to leave him hanging like that. We only had a short period of time that I had my last guest on. I had to keep going. But I'm glad he took the invitation to come back and to talk not just to the MPSL audience, but, of course, the regular audience here, because it's important. This is why this show exists, folks. It's not just Major League Soccer. It's all of us. And if we do not celebrate the game as a whole, then what the heck are we doing? What are we doing? Because that's not right, and that's not fair. So as we now move on to the New York Red Bulls review, they had a big victory at our nation's capital, 4-1, beating D.C. United, and, of course, losing 2-1 to New York City FC in the Hudson River Derby. We'll go to the midweek game review first. You know, it was nice to see Troy Lesane back, or shall we say, to see him managing D.C. United. And you could tell he's changed everything at D.C. They're playing with more purpose. They are attacking better. But you can definitely tell that there's more work to be done at D.C. United. So to basically watch an amazing goal by Elise Manuel just, I would say, just midway inside the air, inside the that side of the field, you know, inside the D.C. side of the field in first half stoppage time, excuse me, that how he chipped Alex Bono, who was well off his line, why he was well off his line like that, I have no idea, floating into the back of the net that ball, to get a 1-goal lead late for the Red Bulls, make it 1-0. And then the rest of the game was unbelievable. 3 goals more. And Emil Forsberg shows you why he was brought over here. Fantastic pass to Cameron Harper. And then Cameron Harper, fantastic move to cut back a little bit, let the defender go by him, beats Bono to the inside of the far post to make it 2-0, and then you saw Manuel leading Harper for an attempt for the second goal of the game. Unfortunately for him, the shot was saved by Bono, but he left a juicy rebound for the trailing Lewis Morgan, who converted his 9th of the season, and that made it 3-0. Yes, DC pulled one back to make it 3-1, and then Corey Burke came on as a substitute. Finally, he got his first goal of the season, beats Bono on the inside of the near post, 4-1, excuse me, and DC was done. And the New York Red Bulls got 6 points in those 2-game stretch of the 3, and they looked great. They looked fantastic. I just got to say that the New York Red Bulls really, really looked good. And then, of course, they go and take on New York City FC, and unfortunately for them, they just could not muster a game-winning goal. Yes, the first goal scored by Wolf for NYCFC, excuse me, just really a poor defensive effort. I know John Tolkien tripped up on his own 2 feet. Can't blame him for that. But Sean Nealis coming out of nowhere to slide tackle the ball away, and he really slide tackled himself out of the defensive position. And Coronel got beat really badly, and it was 1-0. But great, great opportunity for Cameron Harper, and he buries a great ball to level score at 1. And then, of course, They had their moments to score in the second half, could not. The new signing for NYCFC, Bakrar, who's been basically jinxed at the start of the year, finally converts on his first goal in MLS to make it 2-1. Red Bulls could do nothing. They were double-teamed with Dante Van Zier double-teamed. Pat crosses blocked, passing lanes clogged up. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, they could not get the victory. Emil Forsberg did not start due to illness, came off the bench. But let me say this, and I know everyone's upset with the loss, but let's really dive into the full situation of this season in the Eastern Conference standings. And that, my friends, is this. They're in fourth place after playing 14 matches, 6 wins, 5 draws, and only 3 losses. I have not seen them play this well in a very, very long time. The only 2 bad losses were in Columbus and in Miami. So far, they're undefeated at home. Out of the 14 games played, 5 are at home. A 2-1 win over FC Dallas, a 4-0 blowout over Inter Miami without Messi, but still was a blowout regardless. A 0-0 draw against Chicago, a 1-1 draw against Vancouver, and a 4-2 victory over the New England Revolution. The only 3 losses so far have been on the road. Sandro Schwarz right now has been doing an unbelievable job of getting this club to play the way he wants. They are executing. And right now, they're looking pretty good. And now they're on a break. So what's going to happen here? You know, 23 points is nothing to sneeze at. So basically what's going to happen here is everyone else is going to be on 15 games played. Miami will be ahead with 16. So that means the New York Red Bulls will have 2 matches in hand before we get to the end of the regular season, along with the League's Cup break. And all I can tell you is this. Adding Emil Forsberg has done wonders for the club. And Sandro Schwarz's tactics and his energy and his formation has also been exceptional. Exceptional. Cameron Harper right now is on a 3-match goal-scoring streak. Lewis Morgan and Elise Manuel had a 2-game goal-scoring streak, and that got snapped, unfortunately. But once again, they're productive. They're converting chances. Unfortunately, because Emil Forsberg had an illness against New York City FC, he didn't start. He came off the bench. We'll let it pass. It's okay. Because normally they would be either at the bottom or close to being in between the last playoff spot and the bottom. Maybe even in 7th place. But still, right now, they are in 4th. They won't lose too many people when the Copa America begins, and of course the Olympics are coming as well. But if they can hold on and keep on going, and thankfully Sweden did not qualify for the Euros, so that means you still have Ella and Forsberg still on the Red Bulls. Those guys are going to be important during some of these players missing for important duty. But right now, this is probably their best start to the season in a very, very long time. And they're looking pretty damn good, and I'm very happy to see it. Keep this up all season long. Maybe they'll find a way to leapfrog not just NYCFC, but maybe even FC Cincinnati. And maybe if Miami sputters, they can leapfrog them too. But until then, be happy, be excited, but also be cautious. This is still Major League Soccer. They may drop. They may go up. They may not go up to the top, but we'll see what happens. Until then, be happy, be excited, and go ahead and have fun. Take your break. Be ready for the next two games coming up next week. Midweek matchup against Charlotte FC at Red Bull Arena, and then on the weekend at home against Orlando City. It should be fun. It should be exciting. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night and Wednesday night, Open Cup, round of 16, fifth rounder. Going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Cannot wait to see what will happen there. I want to thank my guests tonight, Matt Ralph from Philadelphia Soccer Now and Mr. Ruben Trevino from Geo's Lions SC Chicago. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Next week, there will be no regular Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show because of the weekend, but there will be an Open Cup review show on Tuesday, next Tuesday. So get ready for that. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. And bye-bye. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.